Martha welcomed him. She had a sister named Mary, who sat beside the Lord at his feet, listening to him speak. Martha, burdened with much serving, came to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me by myself to do the serving? Tell her to help me." The Lord said to her in reply, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and worried about many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, and it will not be taken from her." The Gospel of the Lord. We're presented in today's readings of two stories of hospitality. Hospitality could be defined as showing kindness to strangers. These stories harken back to my childhood home, where we had just inside the front door a room. It was called the living room, but there wasn't much living done there, because us kids were never allowed in there. And in fact, down the street, one of my best friends, they also had a living room, except they had on the carpet plastic runners, and then all the furniture was covered with plastic as well. We can debate what was the greatest invention, but I would hazard a guess the gentleman who invented Scotchgard probably is way up there, because now we don't have to worry about those kind of spills and the like. But that room was reserved for greeting people, for welcoming people into the home. We, of course, spent much of our time in the family room, and it definitely showed that we spent a lot of time in there. But why is it that we should show love for strangers? Saint Benedict wrote a rule for his monks, and one of those rules says, "Let all guests who arrive be received as Christ. Let Christ be adored in them as he is also received." And we can even go to the Bible. The letter written to the Hebrews says, "Do not neglect hospitality, for through it some have unknowingly entertained angels." Back in Jesus' day, of course, this hospitality was also a matter of survival. When people went on long journeys, a lot of times they were just walking. They could not carry all the things that they would need for the journey, most especially food. And so they would depend on going into a town and having a stranger come up to them and say, "Come to my house. We will provide water for you to bathe your feet. We will provide food for you before and a place to sleep before you move on to the next part of your journey." Hospitality then was really a matter of survival. But hospitality is also important because we are all created by a loving God. We are all precious in God's eyes, and through our baptism, Christ is in us. In last week's gospel, Jesus was asked, "Who is my neighbor?" The answer eventually comes out, "All people are our neighbor." So in the first reading, we see that story of hospitality. Abraham is visited by three men, and he immediately springs up and offers them water to bathe their feet and prepares a big feast for them. And not only that, Abraham is also taking on the role as a servant. We know he has servants. One of them prepared the steer for the meal. But he goes ahead and serves these men, even though he is the head of the household. He could have others do it. But Abraham does it out of love. He does it because he has encountered God many years before, and God continues to be with him. And so the hospitality that he has is sprung out of that love. So we move on to the gospel story. So Jesus shows up in this town. Martha welcomes him into the home, and she does the duties that is expected of her. She starts preparing a meal. She's probably already provided the water to bathe his feet. He and whoever else has come, presumably at least some of the apostles. But Martha has a sister named Mary. And Mary, instead of helping her sister with all the duties of hospitality, sits at Jesus' feet, listening to him, being taught by Jesus. Mary is learning the lessons of love of neighbor, while Martha is performing the duties of hospitality out of an expectation, this is what society demands. And so Jesus, when Martha comes to Jesus and says, tell Mary to start helping me, Jesus basically is telling her, no, she is taking the better part. She is taking the time for me to teach her about love of neighbor. That all of our good work should be motivated by that love, not out of a sense of duty. Too many times when we hear this story, we immediately think, well, Mary got it all right. Martha was completely wrong. Well, if Jesus was hungry at that point, I'm kind of thinking he was probably glad Martha did prepare the meal. And we come back to the Benedictines, who have a motto. Their motto is Ora et Labora, prayer and work. Saint Benedict didn't see that one had to be sacrificed in favor of the other. He saw that the work that is done by the monastic community should be nurtured and informed by their prayer. And so during the day, and this is, by the way, the reason why clock towers had bells in them, so that during the day, the monks that were working out in the fields would know it's time to stop, set aside my work for now, and go and pray. Return to the church and pray with the community. But that prayer life, which continues to nurture one's relationship with Jesus, that prayer life, which is another aspect of him being able to teach us, is what inspires us to love one another as I have loved you. Here's another reason why we shouldn't just dismiss Martha out of hand. Because Martha and Mary show up in the Gospels later. They have a brother named Lazarus, who is very, very sick. They send word to Jesus by a messenger saying, your friend Lazarus is close to death. Well, Jesus ended up staying on where he was doing his ministry for 3 more days. And then spent that day, the fourth day, traveling to their home. By this time, of course, Lazarus has died. The sister that went out to meet Jesus as he was approaching the home was Martha. And Martha told him, you know, if you would have come earlier, my brother would not have died. But I know God will give you whatever you ask. And their conversation continued, and Martha then says these words, I have come to believe you are the Christ, the Son of God. You see, Jesus was teaching her that day when he showed up at their house. And Martha listened, and Martha learned. He ignited a spark of faith in her heart that she continued to nurture and grow, so that even though she is mourning the death of her brother, she knows that Jesus is the Son of God. She learned her lesson well. So, my dear friends, what does all of this have to do for us? I think it's a reminder to us that all of the good that we do, all of the charitable works we perform, need to be motivated out of love. They should not be motivated by a sense of pride, saying, look how good I am, or trying to gain some measure of notoriety, but instead, out of loving our neighbor. Martha's service needed to come from a love of Jesus, and she eventually learned that lesson as she was able to recognize who Jesus was. That same Son of God, that same Lord and Savior that sat in Martha and Mary's house, that raised their brother from the dead, is the same Lord and Savior that we encounter at this altar every time we come for the Eucharist. Our Eucharistic celebration is a banquet, but it is also a participation in Christ's sacrifice, in his total giving of self for us all. This is how we continue to be taught that we are loved by God just as he loves all people, that all of us are cherished by God, and we need to be taught to imitate our Savior by putting other people's needs ahead of our own, by living lives of selfless love and not selfish desires. And so as we continue today's encounter with Jesus at this Eucharistic celebration, may it continue to work on our heart and welcoming the love of God into our lives so that we can share our love with our neighbor. That is how we do what Jesus asks of us. Love one another as I have loved you.